If not for my alien 120-121. The keepers, the keepers. My daughter, I began to understand. Could this be a tool in communicating messages between extraterrestrials and humans? This could even be an experiment to see how much we could actually communicate. One thing was certain, the only way I had any hope of getting answers to questions was to address them with writing in their symbols. This understanding gave me incentive to learn because it was easier to interact with them. It helped make my abduction experiences go a lot faster and more smoothly. In the midst of this lesson, the word "look" appeared on the table screen. Beside the table screen was a girl, a human girl, I thought at first, and then I had to look closer, because I wasn't so sure. She was young, maybe 12 or so. She just stood there, staring at me. And not one time did she blink. A real cute girl, frail, with a slightly pointed chin, thin short, dirty blonde hair. However, by human standards her nose was too small, her lips were too thin. What stood out the most were her eyes. They almost looked like human eyes, but rounder and larger. I wasn't frightened, I couldn't stop looking into those eyes. I sensed love and at the same time a mental strength. My impression was that she was half human and half alien, but there was something else. Something hauntingly familiar. Then it hit me. She was my daughter? She's mine. I found myself saying. Of course, I had no daughter I knew of, but I couldn't deny that some of her features were similar to mine, though definitely blended with the alien characteristics. Before I could think too much about this, one of the new symbols flashed. Next to it, tug of war appeared. I thought to myself, tug of war? You mean, like the camp game? Then the girl's eyes started to move. The symbol was duplicated, and I could tell that the girl was doing this with her mind. I could sense her telepathic activity with my own newly acquired ability. Only she was doing it wrong. I tried to tell her this, with my mind, and she seemed to understand, but she ignored me. Once again on the wall screen the words tug of war appeared. I formed the symbol properly for her, with my 123 experience I would have thought the place was haunted by a poltergeist. Worker aliens appeared in transparent state, not to abduct me but to observe my daily activity. At other times they would make their appearance more obvious, in which case I would yell a few obscenities at them. Mostly I was tired of fighting and just allowed them their odd communications. The aliens seemed to be extremely interested in spontaneous human reactions and emotions. I got the impression that they were somehow recording or storing the information. Sometimes I would even hear them when they got into solid mode, bumping into things or knocking things down. In 3D reality, they were clumsy guys. They were masters of their spacecrafts, but clods in Jim Sparks's house. They had me happily sequestered in isolation. No one believed my stories. And they knew it. However, I was thinking clearly enough by now, thanks in large part to the return of my health, that there were others besides Teresa and myself who had encountered them. Did they have the same residual effects as me? Did they feel as though their dormant telepathic muscle was being worked? I now longed to meet these people. But when Teresa and I had a relatively nice holiday and fell into the easier-going aspects of a relationship, our bodies and minds were, after all, ultimately used to each other's company. The traditions of the season helped lull us into the illusion of normality. Then, just a couple of days before New Year's Eve, I was pulled the hard way. There, before that teaching machine, I felt I'd hardly left, as though my real life were the abnormality. On this particular trip I was taught a lesson on some rather complex symbols that were difficult to learn because, as I duplicated each stroke I could feel motion from the stroke throughout my whole body. For example, if I moved my stroke to the left, I could feel that same flow move through my body to the left. The same sensation applied for up, down, angles, circles and so forth. I got the sense that I was learning the basic principles of telepathic communication. 122, The Keepers. My daughter off to the store. I had a good feeling inside of me, as though I'd reached a turning point and maybe the rest of the way on this strange journey would be up. Outside though, who should be waiting for me but the guys in the white Ford sedan, just sitting there watching. I recognized them, all right, and my benevolent mood vanished. I lost my temper and screamed toward them and immediately canned the expedition. They'd follow for sure and I'd be so pissed off I'd do something like run into them. I headed back into the house. Cereal and toast would have to do for breakfast. I also came to a decision. As we ate, I told Therese about my father's invitation. I told her that I wanted to accept it, and sincerely asked her, in the interest of our relationship, to go along with me. We didn't have to stay long, I promised, just long enough for me to get myself back into order. She didn't have to think long. She could see I was really struggling, but succeeding. She knew that maybe this would be the best course for me. She agreed. In fact, when I told her that, as she was still on an indefinite leave of absence, I thought maybe she should leave a few days ahead of me, to get my parents ready for me, and to get our living arrangements set up. I checked with Mom and Dad. Yes, certainly, they said. The sooner the better. When Therese was ready, I drove her to the airport, but I didn't point out to her the guys following us in the white sedan. I didn't tell her anything of what was going on, just that I was working hard on getting better. I kissed her goodbye and for a moment, as I held her, there seemed to be a moment of a brighter future. I might not be able to shake the visitors, but maybe I could shake my flesh and blood trackers. I didn't particularly want to encourage those guys in the Ford sedan to find out where I was going. Yes, they probably could, but it was worth a try to avoid them. Instead of sleeping at home that night, I checked into a downtown hotel. In the room, I thought about the past 2 years. I was through running away trying to seek denial and oblivion. I was onto something new. I didn't really 125, finger, repeating it to her with my mind. She didn't like that. Struggle showed on her face as we went forth in a kind of tug of war indeed, altering the symbol. Oddly at the same time during this game I felt I was communing with my newfound hybrid daughter. The experience was almost like hugging a child, yet without touching. I caught the meaning pretty quickly. It was a game. I could feel the radiation of strange energy from her. Had this been the destination of my sperm? Was she a reproductive hybrid of me and some extraterrestrial biology? Anyway, the tug of war was oddly enjoyable. Once I realized it was a mental game, and I got involved with it, I drew a new symbol, one that I'd just learned, and we went back and forth with that. It was an interesting interplay, and I felt a kinship, a bond. Then I could sense it was time to go. Acceleration. Living room. Sofa, paralyzed, of course. I sat there, thinking about the implications of the little girl I'd just been with. My little girl? Yes. I was sure of it. It was unsettling, yes, but I also wasn't as upset as I usually am after an abduction. I got some sleep. In the morning, I decided to make breakfast for Therese, who was sleeping in. I needed eggs, so I headed 124, the keepers, consider going to Florida as an escape. The visitors surely had me tagged in some way. They'd proven that. No. In Florida, fortified by family, a relaxing by the sea climate, and a resolve to understand, I was going to face what was happening to me. When I woke up the following morning in the hotel room, I was pleased to find that I hadn't been abducted the night before. After washing up, I packed my belongings and headed for the airport. Sure enough, waiting for me outside were my two friends. I stopped at my house long enough to grab a few more things. My buddies followed me. At home I just hoped that going to Florida would shake these bozos for a while. As I packed, I felt in a way I never could have before that I could see a future, and it was a future in which I would never live in this house again. Alien gifted precognition or simple gut feeling? Who can say? As the two sedan boys followed me to the airport, I had another feeling. Anger. Paranoia. Tears stung my eyes. But almost as though I was calming myself, I had the feeling, the strong precognition that even though they probably had the wherewithal to follow me, going to Florida was the best way to ditch these goons. I was sad, too, because I love Texas. I loved the home I'd built and the sense of place. But I had to move on. I just had to. It was the right feeling. Since that day I've never again seen any of the guys who watched me from those white Ford sedans. Although I never knew exactly who they were, I didn't really care. That was a mystery I didn't want to work on. I had other mysteries to concentrate on. Chapter 15, Beach Puzzles. I was born in the Miami area and lived there until I was 18, when we moved to the west coast of Florida where I spent a good deal of time. The humid air, sunshine and palm trees, and fetid smells was home, but now Florida seemed far, far from Texas or anywhere else in the United States. This was a good thing, I thought, as I got a smack of tarmac smell in my face, and an urge to put on some shorts as soon as I got off the plane. Certainly the first thing I should do was to buy some sunglasses. A Florida winter was a lot brighter than a Houston winter. My father and mother had turned out to greet me along with my younger brother. It was good to see them. The kiss from my mother, the hearty handshakes from my father and brother felt good. Their presence made me immediately realize I'd done exactly the right thing. Teresa was at the house when we got there. We didn't say too much to each other, there didn't seem too much to be said. I was glad to be there, though, and looking around the comfortable house, all I could wonder was, how long before the visitors come for me again? And how would they go about it, what with a house full of people? I had almost made up my mind at that point not to talk about the abductions. This was not the time or place for traumas, but it seemed reasonable now to venture out a bit. I mean, they were my family, right? If, 126-127, the Keepers, Beach Puzzles, I was here long enough, they'd be able to see I wasn't drinking and didn't show any effects of drug abuse. So after I got settled in and the small talk got a bit strained, I asked Dad to go with me on a long walk. As the wind blew off the Atlantic and fluttered the palm leaves, we walked along the beach and I tried to tell him what was happening to me. He just kind of shut me out, as if he simply didn't want to hear it. When I approached my mom, she was sympathetic but she couldn't grasp any of the concepts I was dealing with. My brother simply figured I'd flipped my lid. These people had always considered me to be stable, logical and down to earth, but this out-of-this-world gym just didn't fit them. However, my sister-in-law, Janet, did believe part of what I was saying. She told me about a friend of hers who had gone through almost the same thing, with a few slight differences. My ears perked up, and I asked her for specifics. I have no idea where she is now, she said. She moved several years ago and we didn't keep in touch. Janet considered this friend stable and intelligent, so she thought it was worth listening to me, remaining open. It felt so good to have someone who didn't think I was three engines short of a jet airliner. I settled down some, and everybody seemed to approve. Jim was becoming his old self again. 9 Hooray! The move to my family's home in Miami slowed down the abduction scenario. In fact, month after month passed with no sign of the things. Were they leaving me alone because they were giving my mental faculties a rest? Probably they didn't really care. They hadn't shown any consideration before. Why now? Maybe my living with a bunch of people slowed them down. Still, I had my own private room. No one had spotted them in the hotels they whisked me from. Were they finished with me? Probably not. I wasn't sure what the reason was, but one thing 128 was for sure, the thought of going back to Texas scared the daylights out of me. More and more I felt that I might never return to live there again. As time went by I got even more of my mental and physical strength back, and my confidence returned. I was stronger all around. What's more, I was ready for the visitors when they returned for me, and I felt further abductions would not waste me like the previous ones had. Also, unsympathetic ears simply were not worth my words. I decided to wait until I could find the right person to tell everything to. Otherwise it was a waste of breath. 4 months had gone by, and it was April 1990. I was still at my parents' house and I was getting restless. Although I wasn't ready to go back to Texas, I felt it was time to move on. When I was 18, my first apartment was on the island of Fort Myers Beach, off Florida's west coast. Those were good days. I saw no reason why I shouldn't move there again. So, I headed out there for the weekend and put a deposit on a rental apartment about 100 yards from the beach. I was scheduled to move the 1st of May. I was excited about this move because I always did like the beach. When I got back to Miami, I informed my family about my plans. A few days after I got back from the Gulf Coast, I was sleeping alone in my parents' guest room. I woke up. The clock said 3:30 a.m. The owl was hovering in the room, in phosphorescent shimmer. Time for school. I thought I was ready. I wasn't. I jumped out of bed and scurried into the kitchen. I had made enough noise to wake the dead. The house was dark and I was banging into things. I disturbed no one. I even went into their rooms and shook them. They just simply couldn't wake up. I felt that strange yet familiar static electric buzz around my body, and the overwhelming urge to go to sleep. I fought this urge and the willfulness tore through my automatic reactions. 129. The Keepers, Beach Puzzles. Wait a moment, I said to myself. Remember. You've been through this before. Take it in stride, I said out loud. Why do you bastards come for me in the middle of the night? You know it scares me. I got back in bed, still tasting fear. Sleep came, then the acceleration. Again, the familiar yet alien environment loomed before me. On the screen was the last symbol I'd been working on, as though I were the yesterday. I had plenty of questions, and I knew not only how to ask them but that the style of my asking would please them. But I thought it would be best to just go with the flow to see what was in store. Something new was in store this time. After a few new symbols, I got puzzles, a combination of alien symbols, numbers and memory. I had to place symbolic combinations together into a certain form. I got the feeling that if I functioned well on this, they'd be more than happy to answer any questions. Over time the puzzles became more difficult. But once I got a grasp of the basics, the more complicated symbols were easier for me to put together. This whole learning process seemed easier this time. I'd adopted a new attitude of acceptance, although sometimes I still felt animosity and had to check my anger. I was still curious, and I wondered if I stayed cooperative and docile, would they turn me loose to see the rest of the ship? You have to understand that when I was in that teaching position, I was at the very least partially paralyzed, and it would be quite nice to be able to get up and have a look around. Reward time. This time I got strange projections of a possible future. Whether it was a forecasted future or a look into an actual future, I couldn't say. In any case, I don't remember the scenes per se, but I do remember the pleasure and contentment. The lab rat gets its cheese. Then, whoosh exclamation mark back to the guest room. It was almost daylight and instead of being traumatized, this time I was calm. I slept. I awoke late, but refreshed, and with a sense of moving forward with the whole experience. Sure, the abductions would 130, disrupt me, but not as much anymore. I can't tell you what an important step that was for me. Teresa and I moved to the west coast of Florida to the apartment I had rented. Staying with my parents had been extremely helpful, but we were ready to be on our own again. I liked my new place. Here was the beach life, a relaxed and, thanks to the income from the business, an almost carefree life. A complete turnaround from the hell in Texas. It wasn't easy for Teresa. She missed Houston's bustle, her old home, even her job. She frequently mentioned wanting to go back. Although our differing attitudes toward the abductions had put a wedge between us, I wasn't upset by much since my mental faculties had returned. Sure. Go back if you want, I said. I guess the leisure, sun, and surf had its charms for her too, for she decided to stay for a while and make the decision later. Our income was low, since mine had lowered and hers had stopped. But things didn't seem to cost so much here and the price was worth it to me. In Florida, for some reason, the abductions had reduced in number. And the laid-back relaxation of sun, shorts, and sunglasses certainly was balm to my nerves. After living in the beach apartment for several months, we moved to a beach house. The place had gotten developed since my former days here. I wanted to be in a little less congested area. Isolation didn't seem so scary to me now. If the aliens wanted me, they could get me anywhere. In 1990, I got abducted far fewer times than in 1989. Why was this, I wondered idly. Some sort of base in Texas. Hard to say. But mostly I think what I had at first was alien boot camp, and the training helped me deal with my new life later on. Nothing happened out of the ordinary, if you can count regular programming in alien symbols ordinary, until early 1991. And when it did happen, it was pretty bad. 131, An Adventure on Board, Chapter 16, Success in a Big Way, Dave's smart and sharp as a tack. He is a very caring guy who has made a real difference in my life. 2 years after my rough experience in 1992, I found support in that group for my grief and shock. A couple named Courtney and Steve Wood had had a similar experience. They were a good-looking couple with southern drawls in their mid-40s. They were both in the banking business, very responsible, solid folk. Courtney was blonde and lovely, and everything about Steve spelled strength, physically and emotionally. The bad thing for Teresa and me was that while we still were married, we were not as close as we had once been. In early 1992, she missed two periods. Now this was odd, because while we did have sex, it wasn't that often. Plus, when we did get intimate in this way, we used birth control. Pregnant? Surely not. Still, she went to the doctor, and it didn't take long to determine that yes, indeed, she was expecting. My first thought was that she must have been having an affair. As we had serious marital problems, I almost half expected this. But my Italian jealousy was checked by practicality and compassion. She assured me, though, that this wasn't the case. I must be the father, she stated. Well, I thought, I could always check the DNA later. Still, with my having seen both Teresa and my daughter on the alien craft, I got a sick feeling about the whole thing. So I just took it day by day. A part of me said, be cautious. At the end of her third month, Teresa went for a checkup and was just fine. That evening though, she woke up in great pain. I rushed her to the emergency room at Lee Memorial Hospital in Fort Myers. I waited with her in one of the small examination rooms for a staff doctor. He asked me to leave so he could run some tests, so I waited in the hall. An hour later he came out to say that Teresa would be fine. There was only one problem though. While she definitely had been pregnant, with a fetal sac and all, there was now no fetus inside. He held up an ultrasound photograph with a uterus, a sac, and no fetus. An adventure on board this relaxed time probably made me less eager to search out other contactees and abductees. Probably I was just recovering and lying low for a bit. In any case, when I did finally start going to the meetings in 1994, I realized I could help lots of people with fragmented memories simply because mine were pretty complete. Conversely, I found people there who could help me with my experiences. There were solid people in this group. People like Don Watkins, a law enforcement state supervisor, and Dave Rubian, an engineer and investor. Don Watkins is a short, cocky guy, a muscular fellow in his 50s who looks like a cop in every way, steely eyes, short hair, and hard-looking. From the first, I could pretty much peg his main fault. Don was the high machismo sort, heavy on ego and personal power. However, around me he was pretty much a puppy dog and we got along great. We both knew the alien abduction phenomenon was real. His memories of it all were fragmented. Sometimes they were clear, but mostly he found in me a way to get in touch with what he couldn't remember. He became one of my best friends. If God is the master of the universe, Dave Drubian is the soul of the earth. He's a tall guy, filled with health and compassion, love and comfort. I guess you could say that Dave was the emotional stabilizer for all of us abductees. If we called any time day or night, he was there for us. A financial, 132, 133, The Keepers, An Adventure on Board, he explained that although this was a quality picture here in his hands, the fetus might not be showing for some reason. It had happened before, If your wife was still in pain, I would take more intrusive and extensive tests. These tests are a little riskier and quite expensive. She seems to be doing just fine, so I don't see the point in disturbing her any further. If the pain happens again, bring her back in here and we'll do other tests." My stomach sank down to about ankle level. The baby was gone. I was convinced that the aliens had taken it. I was absolutely sure that this was all a part of their plan for her. My wife had a miscarriage, sure enough, the next day in fact, and there was no actual fetus in the expelled material. The doctor assured me that this sometimes happened, that the body sometimes absorbed a faulty fetus. The first trimester was the riskiest part of the pregnancy span, and I researched the situation. Everything he said was true. It did happen. This could well be perfectly possible, but I had a gut feeling that the aliens had taken it. Indeed, when I mentioned this feeling at the meetings I went to during 1994, my friend Courtney mentioned that she'd had several pregnancies where she was positive the aliens abducting her had taken the child just at this point. Even as she declared this, another woman named Hillary said she'd had the exact same experience. Another abductee, Shirley, said, "I wouldn't be surprised to find this is a common phenomenon among female abductees. In these cases as well, although there had been sex, there was surprise at the pregnancy. I was heartbroken about the miscarriage. Although we hadn't planned on a child, the idea of me being a father had not seemed to be a bad one at all. In fact, I'd rather liked the idea. I felt a real loss, a real sadness. Eventually, the pain for both of us wore off. 2 years crept by, with only occasional abductions. Then on March 7, 1994, everything changed. That was the day I took that walk on the beach with the alien in the 40s suit, and the day I got my wish to roam about one of their craft, which is where I started this book, on the ship, free to roam. Having been 133, brought on board the easy way, that is, the way you or I might board a passenger jet. I was still pretty awestruck. I thought I would have been prepared, but I really wasn't. By now you probably understand why. Although I was frightened at finding an alien in human disguise making like Humphrey Bogart, I wasn't totally surprised. With the visitors you expect the unexpected. But I was pretty shocked, I must say, that night at finding myself with free rein of the ship. After that walk to the beach, though, with all the sensory aspects of reality, the breezes, the sea oats, the vivid sea smells, there could be no doubt that this was indeed all truly happening, including that ship hanging there above the sea. It was real can be. As you may recall, I was left alone in an examination room with the door open. I walked and explored, and I was stunned at what I found in the room where I ended up. I'd been hoping for just this opportunity for years. Now, though, with what was spread out before me, I wasn't so sure I should have ventured out into the ship. There were creatures, things, 15 or 20 of them. I don't know exactly the number, because I was too shaken up to count. They were on the kind of examination table that I'd just departed, on their backs, covered by thin blankets or sheets pulled up to their necks. They were like the worker aliens but a little more human, which actually made them all the more alien. Their heads were bigger than the workers. They had no hair, no eyebrows or eyelids, and smooth faces. I had the sense they were female, although they had no breasts. They just lay there, not looking so much asleep or dead, as turned off. I don't know what came over me, a surge of horror, and an incredible realization of what I was involved with. Routine had turned into raw dread and fear. As soon as I got my voice, I started screaming. I backed up against the wall and just let it rip. My terror was suddenly mitigated by the perceived presence of a supervisor. I could feel him behind me, and I almost welcomed the arrival of this familiarity. My body became paralyzed, and I 135, the keepers felt a river of calm flow over me from the alien. Then, my reality altered. Something reached inside my mind and, click exclamation mark, a projection of a different view of the room developed. It was screen imaging. It rippled over this screen image, and suddenly the strange beings lying on the tables are beautiful women. This image somehow relaxed me. They turned and looked at me, but these women I also thought were shut down or dead. They all had exactly the same kind of makeup and hairstyles, sort of ludicrously glamorous. One spoke to me. An adventure on board, I felt no paralysis,